What is up, everybody? We are live. It's Sunday. We are going over anaerobic training systems. Love this stuff. Learning goals, how to understand, understand how to properly implement anaerobic training systems, understand how to use the Borg scale to indicate perceived exertion with anaerobic training. The training system, training systems of the anaerobic training style is negative sets. So priority training, pyramid training, superset, contrast training, complex training, drop set training, circuit training, lactate tolerance training. And these are all popular training styles of anaerobic training. We're going to talk about all of those today. Priority system addresses weak muscles, limitations, or health problems first. So weak point training, I call this, this is basically what I call it. I call it weak point training, but they call it a priority system, okay? And this addresses weak muscles, limitations, or health problems first, often employed in general fitness phase. So we went over the general fitness phase, which is very basic exercises. You're not overloading too much. You're not going too low of reps. You're getting enough rest, but you're trying to get that person into shape as well. It's good for new or novice clients. The pyramid system, so think of progression. This would be the original bodybuilding system included whole pyramids. So 135 reps or 135 pounds for 10 reps for your first set. Second set might be 155 pounds for 8 reps. And then set 3, 175 pounds for 6 reps. And then set 4, 185 pounds for 5 reps. I do pyramid training when I bench press. I do pyramid training sometimes with shoulder pressing, but I don't do a lot of overhead shoulder presses anymore. I might do this with a split stance squat. I might overload that way. Half pyramids are more useful and practical in physical therapy or personal training. So you might do a half pyramid. You might not go all the way to set 4. You might just do set 3. Or you might go from set 2 to set 4. Increasing loads with decreasing reps over 3 to 5 sets and provides hypertrophy and strength stimulus. So this would be more of a bodybuilding effect. Supersets. So you're going to get not only hypertrophy, but you're also going to get strength and you're going to expend more calories. So supersets is when you combine two exercises, targeting the same muscle group to stimulate greater fiber recruitment. Okay, so you might do some pull-ups and then you might add in some bicep curls right after or a horizontal row. You could do a superset of push-ups and bench press. You could do a superset of squats and lunges. Combining opposing muscle groups or lower and upper body exercises so that prime mover stabilizers do not become fatigued from the initial set. So let's just say you don't want to just, really focus on your chest. You want to do chest and back or upper and lower body. So you can change a superset. It doesn't have to be targeting specific tissue. You can go upper, lower. You could do push, pull. You could do tricep extension, bicep curl, that type of thing. So that could also be a superset. And when you combine anything, it's going to be, you're going to burn a little bit more calories. Any combination can be used as long as it is consistent with a goal. So obviously, if your goal is general fitness training, you wouldn't want to do 2 bicep exercises because that, not that it's not functional, but you might do biceps and triceps, or you might do push pull. You might use bigger muscle groups, or you might use multi-joint activities instead of just using single joint. So if you're a bodybuilder and your goal is to grow the biceps, then yes, then combine 2 bicep exercises for hypertrophy, strength, and also losing or just burning more calories. So trisets, I like trisets as well. It's almost like circuit training, right? But for working out. So what you could do is a seated row or seated floor reach, body squats, and a side raise for a beginner. intermediate, you could do step-ups, push-ups, and abdominal crunch, and advanced, pull-ups, lunge, and body dips. So these would be example of tri-sets for beginners, intermediates, and advanced. So seated floor reach, you could substitute that with a good morning, body weight good morning. It could also be maybe a step-up here, or a body squat you have next, and then a side raise, side steps or step ups. You can advance that by going sideways up to step ups, push ups. You could also do a plank hold, abdominal crunch. You could do a forearm plank, pull ups. You could do a horizontal row, or you could do a pull down. Lunges, you could do side lunges. You could do standing one leg deadlift, body dips. You could do bench press. So these would be different exercises for different tri-sets. Contrast sets. So you're going from one end to another end of the spectrum when it comes to working out. So a weighted back squat superset, and you would combine that with jump squats. So now you're kind of going from strength to plyometric. Okay. Bench press with medicine ball, chest press, so strength to plyometric. So you're going from basically strength to plyometrics. Or it could be something else. It could be going, you know, it could be balance to agility. But in these examples here, we're just looking at dumbbell pullover superset with medicine ball chop rebounds. Okay. So contrast set is definitely going from strength to plyometric. Could be strength with something else that contrasts strength. Could go from balance to agility, but these would be some examples from strength to plyometric, which would be more suitable for personal training. Complex sets, so heavy conditioning set and plyometric or ballistic using same muscle groups. So it could be a sprint and a back squat. Rest periods between actions vary, but generally use 3 to 4 minutes as potentiation increases over time. So make sure that you have high amounts of rest, 3 to 4 minutes between actions. And first lift primes neural pathways used in second activity to maximize power. So you're priming a neural pathway as you squat, and then when you sprint, it helps you maximize that power because you were just emitting all that force slowly. Okay, so that would be an example of a complex set. So when you're combining neural activity and force activity, you're combining heavy conditioning sets and plyometrics or ballistic using same muscle groups. Drop strip sets, so dropping the weight down, used for hypertrophy and maximizing muscle fiber recruitment. And what we're doing here is we're just trying to, you know, break down that muscle tissue so it can grow back stronger, right? 2 to 3 sets are performed in a row with only transitional rest. So you're not resting for a certain amount of time. You're just going right into it. So if you have a bench press and you have 2 tens on each side, a drop set would be taking those tens off after you perform your first set. And as long as that takes you to get those off, that's your rest. They can be added to the end of a pyramid set or integrated in other ways. So like right after a pyramid set, you could start stripping the weight down as you just see how many sets you can get. So let's see, an example would be 110 pounds would be set 1, 12 reps, 60 second rest. Then set 2, 120 pound, 10 reps, 60 second rest. And then set 3, 130 pounds, 8 reps, 60 second rest. And then set 4, you can do 130 pounds times 8. And then you're going to drop it 120 pounds times 10 and drop it 110 pounds to failure. So basically, you can use drop sets at the end of pyramid setting, or you can just start with a drop set. So you could start with 130 for 8 and then go to 120 for 10 and then 110 to failure. So you can progress it as a pyramid and degress it with your drop sets, or you can start with drop sets. Circuit training, high caloric burn, tolerable whole body resistance and short duration. Use up to 15 exercises performed sequentially for a predetermined time period or rep range. Rest periods are transitional, but can be 90 to 120 seconds between full cycles or rounds. So I like to perform 10 exercises in 10 minutes. I like to be working for about 30 to 45 seconds and resting for 30 to 15 seconds long. Rest periods are transitional, but can be 90 to 120 between full cycles or rounds. So after 10 minutes, I would rest for about 2 minutes before I go through the next, 10 rounds. So that would be an example of circuit training. You could combine strength exercises. You could combine low intensity cardiorespiratory exercises like step ups, or you could get on a bike or a rower while you're going through the circuit training. You can make them high demanding or low demanding. So that's a good thing. So you can make it like a Tabata workout where you're, maybe doing like arm circles and then you're doing leg kicks. You could make it into a dynamic stretch, or you could make it harder. Lactate tolerance system. The lactate tolerance system is a group of exercises. A group of exercises are performed as fast as possible. So basically, you're going through 50 modified pull-ups, 80 bench press push-ups, 80 stability ball leg curls, 40 medicine ball slams, or 60 air squats. Okay, so this is your CrossFit training, right? Lactate tolerance system. Any rest periods are dictated by client recovery and tolerance of metabolic discomfort, useful for highly conditioned clients. So when you're using the lactate tolerance system, you're just seeing how many reps you can go until the lactate basically takes over and your hydrogen ions are high and you need to be buffered. And when you start being buffered by lactate, it breaks down into pyruvate and your body needs time to be able to get that tissue back to alkaline, and then it will be able to function again. So that's why you can't do push-ups forever or squats forever. Your lactate tolerance system takes over. So that would be an example of working in the lactate tolerance system, is to perform 50 pull-ups or 80 bench press push-ups or 80 stability ball leg circuits, okay? This would be more for highly conditioned clients. Negative sets, they may help overcome a plateau. Eccentric phase loaded with 110 to 130% of one rep max. So basically, negative sets are eccentric training. And eccentric training is also actually known to create mobility and flexibility in the joint. And it's a very, very good way of loading. It's the most you can load is through eccentric gains. So what he is doing in this position or this example would be, let's just say you can bench on a bench press 135 pounds. Let's put, 160 pounds on there, and then I want you to try to lower it down as slow as you can. Now that would be a negative set, and then you might have somebody spotting you and pulling that weight up and helping you, and all you're doing is focusing on the eccentric phase. Now I wouldn't recommend starting with that. I would start with 130% of your one rep max or 110% of your one rep max on your eccentric phase, and then I would still try to concentrically push it up, but I would definitely have a spotter. So eccentric or negative sets, they may not be appropriate for all clients, and concentric phase is spot assisted, so make sure that you do have a spot. Useful for functional body weight lifts, such as pull-ups, okay? So you could get up into a pull-up position and you could put some weight on you, and then you can slowly extend your elbows from the pull-up position. That would also be a negative set. The Borg scale tells you how much work or effort you're putting in, and there's RPE scales. And rate perceived exertion is what RPE stands for. You have your resting state at 6 and you have your exhaustion state at 20. The Borg's rate of perceived exertion scale is often used to determine work intensities among those on medications that may alter heart rate responses. Clients without access to heart rate monitor or those who do not assess their heart rate during training. The original scale runs from 6 to 20 as seen in the graphic. Adding a zero loosely reflects heart rate beats per minute. A modified scale includes values from 0 to 10, with 0 being no exertion at all. Okay, so you have your resting or your not doing that much 6 scale. You have 7, very, very light, 8, nothing, 9, very light, 10, nothing, 11, fairly light, 12, nothing, 13, somewhat hard, 14, nothing, maybe somewhat hard, 15, hard, 16, hard, 17, very hard, 18, very hard, 19, very, very, very hard, and then 20, exhaustion. So that would be your Borg scale. So you could say on a scale 6 to 20, how do you feel? And they might say, you know, very, very light, I feel like I'm at a 7. Or they could say very, very hard, which would be at a 17 or a 19, right? There are other scales out there as well. There are, you could bring this, break this down to 1 to 10, but the Borg scale helps those people that are on medications. And is if you show them this scale and you say, you know, where do you feel you're at? And they tell you they're at a very light zone, then you know that you can stress them maybe a little bit harder. And if you feel like they do have heart issues, or you know that after looking at the PARQ, they might have some other concerns, you might want to make sure that you don't go over a Borg scale of 12. Okay, so this would be the Borg scale. There's other scales out there, but the Borg scale you can use in the NCSF, and that's going to be it for anaerobic training systems. Thanks.